1. What science? What history? What people? We all know the history of science that we learned from grade school textbooks. How Galileo used his telescope to show that the Earth was not the center of the universe. How Newton divined gravity from the falling apple. How Einstein unlocked the mysteries of time and space with a simple question. This history is made up of long periods of ignorance and confusion, punctuated once in age by the eureka of a brilliant thinker who puts it all together. In this traditional heroic account, a few great men with great ideas tower over the rest of humanity, and it is to them that we owe science in its entirety. The legend of Pythagoras exemplifies the seemingly timeless tendency to attribute all scientific creation to individual hero savants. With regard to ancient Greek and Roman commentaries on their semi-mythical predecessor, Walter Burkert observed that to a later age it seemed natural to retroject their own notion of wisdom upon the great figures of the past and to impute to them that which from a modern point of view is science. Unfortunately, that practice is still all too much in evidence today. What I am presenting here, by contrast, is a people's history of science that aims to show how ordinary humans participated in creating science in profound ways. It is a history not only of the people, but for the people as well. Its intended audience is not confined to professional scientists or historians of science, but includes anyone with an interest in the origins of scientific knowledge. And because I have drawn on the collective efforts of many predecessors, it might not be far-fetched to say that in a sense it is also by the people. My central aim is to demonstrate a much, much greater contribution to the production and propagation of scientific knowledge on the part of anonymous masses of humble people, the common people, than is generally recognized or acknowledged. Isaac Newton's ability to see further should not be attributed, as he claimed, to his sitting on the shoulders of giants, but rather to his standing on the backs of untold thousands of illiterate artisans, among others. It would be absurd, of course, to claim that the formulation of quantum theory or the structure of DNA can be credited directly to artisans or peasants. But if modern science is likened to a skyscraper, then those 20th century triumphs are the sophisticated filigrees at its pinnacle that are supported by and could not exist apart from the massive foundation created by humble laborers. If science is understood in the fundamental sense of knowledge of nature, it should not be surprising to find that it originated with the people closest to nature: hunter-gatherers, peasant farmers, sailors, miners, blacksmiths, folk healers, and others forced by the conditions of their lives to wrest the means of their survival from an encounter with nature on a daily basis. A few brief examples, all of which will be explained in detail in the chapters below, can illustrate this contention. Virtually every plant and animal species we eat today was domesticated by experimentation and de facto genetic engineering practiced by pre-literate ancient peoples. We are infinitely more in debt to pre-Columbian Amerindians than to modern plant geneticists for the scientific knowledge underlying food production. Even in relatively recent times, when American plantation owners wanted to grow rice, they found themselves compelled to buy African slaves with knowledge of the ecology of rice plants. Likewise, the science of medicine began with and continues to draw of knowledge of plants' therapeutic properties discovered by prehistoric peoples. Amerindians demonstrated to Europeans the efficacy of the bark of the cinchona tree in treating malaria, and an African slave named Onesimus introduced the practice of inoculation against smallpox to North America. Credit for the discovery of vaccination that usually goes to Dr. Edward Jenner belongs instead to a farmer named Benjamin Jesty. Furthermore, until the 19th century, the advance of medical science owed more to semi-literate barber surgeons, apothecaries, and irregular healers than to university-trained medical scholars, whose influence tended to retard the acquisition of new medical knowledge. It was a Swiss pig gelder named Jakob Neufer who, in the 1950s, performed the first recorded cesarean section.